The Passion according to St. Matthew. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the courtyard of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." Now Jesus was at Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. And a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment. And she poured the ointment on his head as he sat at the table. When his disciples saw this, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? This perfume could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, who was aware of it, said, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has done a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you. You will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then one of the 12, who was named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. The first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain person and say, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. And when it was evening, Jesus took his place with the disciples. While they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they all began to be distressed and to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." He said, "The one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Then Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus said, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and blessed it. Then he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Again, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised up, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all the others fall away, I will never fall away." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then he went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, "Remain here while I go over there and pray." And taking Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be grieved and agitated. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. stay here with me. Stay awake with me. And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But not what I want, what you want." And coming to the disciples, he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you do not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away from them and prayed for the second time, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. He left them and went and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came back to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign. He said, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." And at once he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." Kissed him. Jesus said, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of the ones who was with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus said, "Put your sword in its place, for all who live by the sword will die by the sword. Do you not think that I could ask my heavenly Father, and he would send me immediately more than 12 legions of angels? But then how could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must take place in this way?" Then he said to the crowd, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as if I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place so that the scriptures may be fulfilled." And then all of the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who arrested Jesus took him to the high priest, where the elders and the chief priests were gathered. And Peter followed them at a distance, all the way into the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see how this would end. Now the chief priest and the entire council were looking for false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at least two came forward and said, "We heard this man say, 'I am able to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days.'" Then the chief priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the chief priest said to him, "I put you under an oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Son of God, the Messiah." And Jesus said, "You say so. But I tell you, from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the chief priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy for yourselves. What is your verdict?" And they all said, "He deserves death." and they spit in his face, and they struck him. And some of them slapped him and said, "Prophesy for us, you Messiah. Who was it who struck you?" That's the proper response. Now Peter was in the courtyard. And a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also with Jesus the Galilean?" But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." Then he went into the patio. And another servant girl, on seeing him, said to the bystanders, "This man was also with Jesus the Nazareth, the one from Nazareth." And again, he denied it, swearing an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders, on seeing him, said, "You also were with them, for your accent betrays you." Peter began to curse and swore an oath, saying, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, the chief priests and the elders gathered together to confer how to bring about the death of Jesus. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas saw that Jesus was thus condemned, he repented. And he took the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing the pieces of silver down in the temple, Judas departed, and he went and hanged himself. Taking the pieces of silver, the chief priest said, "It is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, for they are blood money." So after conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. That is why that field is called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one who had a price on his head, the price of one who some in Israel had put a price, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded. Now Jesus was before the governor. And the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they bring against you?" But again, Jesus said nothing, not to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, the governor was accustomed during the festival to release a prisoner for them, anyone whom they asked for. At that time, there was a notorious prisoner named Judas Barabbas. So when they gathered together, Pilate asked the crowd, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Because he knew that it was out of jealousy that they handed him over. But while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered greatly today because of a dream about him." Meanwhile, the chief priests and the elders had persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. So Pilate asked them a second time, "Which of these two do you want me to release for you?" And they shouted, "Barabbas!" He said, then what do you want me to do with Jesus who is called the Messiah? And they said, crucify him. He said, why? What evil has he done? They said, all the more, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he could do nothing, and that instead a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd. He said, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And the crowd said, as a whole, his blood be on us and on our children. Then Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging him, he handed Jesus over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the headquarters of the governor. They stripped him of his clothes and put on a scarlet robe. And twisting thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand. And then they bowed down and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him, struck him in the head with the reed. Then they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. As they were going out, they came across a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. When they got to the place called Golgotha, that is, the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with myrrh. But when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. After they crucified him, they divided his clothes between them by casting lots. Then they sat down in order to watch over him. And there was an inscription over his head of the charge. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two other bandits were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. And all who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the King of Israel, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes derided him and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now if he is able. For he said, I am God's son." And those who were crucified with him also mocked him in the same way. It was about noon, and darkness covered the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But when those who stood by heard him, they said, "Listen, this man is calling for Elijah." And one of them ran and got a sponge, dipped it in sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and breathed his last. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks were split. And also tombs were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they left the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. But when the centurion and those who were with him, who stood by watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had taken place, they were terrified, and they said, "Surely this man was God's Son. And there was also with them many women who stood by watching at a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and ministered to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When evening came, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn from the rock. Then he rolled a great stone over the door of the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The Passion of the Christ.